Good morning, and thank you for joining us once again for the Bible Believers Radio broadcast. My name is Brother Mike Wheeler, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes as we study the Word of God together in the book of Ephesians. Now, so far, we've made it down to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're down in verse 11. Last week, we went over verse 11. This week, we'll read over that, reiterate what we talked about last week, and we'll move on, and hopefully we can get down to verse 16 this morning. Now, while you're turning over there in your Bibles, let me invite you to go to our website at www.bbbc-canton.org, and you'll find some information about our church in Canton, what we're trying to do, the church that we've started, where we're meeting, some contact information, how to get a hold of us. If you'd like to give us a call, send us an email or send us a text, we'll be more than happy to talk to you about any questions you may have about our ministry. Now, we have our one-year anniversary coming up in just a few weeks on April the 5th, and that will start at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you're more than welcome to come visit with us that morning and also stay with us for our church service. We're going to have a special service that day, and we'd love to have you, hope to meet you that day, love to get to talk to you and get to know you a little bit, and for you folks to talk to us and get to know us a little bit. The people that the Lord has sent us so far are some really good people. God has blessed us with some folks who are interested in serving Him and are interested in the ministry, and we're very thankful for that. And we believe we got a good group of folks, and it'd be a blessing for us, to come and meet us and talk with us just a little bit and see what we're all about. Who knows, you may like us. You may enjoy being there. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the purpose of the ministry and the purpose of the gifts of the ministry. Now, if you'll remember last week when we were going over verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And we pointed out how that last pastors and teachers are connected. And pastors should be apt to teach. They should be able, when I say apt, they should be able to teach the Word of God, teach correct Bible doctrine, teach the practical things out of the Bible that will be a help to people. He should be able to instruct Christians out of the Bible. He should be able to show Christians how to solve problems biblically and using God's Word and getting the instruction out of the Bible to allow you to learn how that God wants you to solve those problems. And so it's very important that we stick with the book. And so a pastor should be that. He should be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a counselor at times. He should be a good friend. He should be a confidant, somebody that you could go to and tell something to in strictest confidence, trusting and knowing that he's not going to use that against you or that he's not going to use that as an illustration in a sermon or point you out from the pulpit and pick on you about whatever your sin may be or whatever your weakness may be, as a matter of fact. We should make sure that we hold those conversations that people entrust us with in the deepest of confidence, and that we should make sure that we don't gossip whenever somebody tells us something that's in confidence. And so a pastor is somebody who has the ability to solve problems and work around situations to where that he can bring both parties together as a mediator at times, to be able to help those people get past some of the problems that they have in life. Sometimes people are against themselves, and they don't really know what to do. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to get along in life. And so a pastor is somebody who is to guide them in the Scriptures and show them how to live for Jesus Christ. So he should be apt to teach, but he should also be apt to preach. He should be a preacher first. Notice in the passage there, it says pastors and teachers. He should know how to guide the flock, and he should know how to guard the flock. That's one of the things that we talked about last week. He is a guide and a guard to the flock, and he's a nurse to them at times. And he tries to feed them so that their souls can grow and they can grow spiritually and they can get closer and have a closer walk to God. And that's the ultimate goal, is we want to make sure that folks grow in the Lord. And so these people who are pastors and put over the churches, they're gifted men. They have a gift, and God's given them that gift to be able to talk to people and minister to them and help them. Honestly, folks, people need help. They need hope and they need help. And if you can give them hope and you can help them with their problems, then people will begin to trust you. And sometimes it takes, some time for people to trust you. But that, that's something that people should do. In this day and time that we're in, there's a lot of people who have gotten to where they don't trust pastors. They don't trust preachers because of all of the sin that has taken place in some of the lives of the pastors, and it's portrayed for everybody to see. And so people don't trust pastors like they used to. And so pastors have a very real responsibility to live a good, clean life and have a good testimony in front of the eyes of people so that whenever they're trying to minister to them, they can begin to trust them. And they should be able to trust a pastor. All right, now let's look in the verse and look in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints. So the purpose of this ministry, the purpose of the gifts of the ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. I've put it this way before. It's for the evangelization of sinners, for the edification of the saints, and the glorification of the Savior. Really, our number one job when we come together to worship is we should be glorifying our Savior Jesus Christ. We should glorify Him in worship, in singing, and we should glorify Him in worship, in preaching. And we should bring honor and glory to our Savior at all times, not just when we meet together in worship, but at all times. And then whenever we meet together in worship, we have those good times, those uplifting times, those encouraging times. Let me put it like the Bible says, the edifying times. Whenever we meet together, we should edify one another. We should be very complimentary instead of critical. And I've noticed over the years that it seems like some churches are very critical of each other in the church, and it shouldn't be that way. We should try to pick out the strong points of other Christians and try to encourage that in those Christians. Now, there's three parts to the ministry, and Paul went over those whenever he was getting to the end of his ministry over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is the very chapter and these verses that I'm going to read. These are the verses that God used to call me to preach, to call me into the ministry. And he says there in verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. So now that is the command from God to a pastor, is to preach the word. And then he gives three aspects of the ministry, what a preacher is supposed to do. And he says, in that preaching, he says, be instant in season, out of season. And then he says, number one, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we're to be a reproof, a rebuke. But notice one part of that ministry that most preachers forget about is that exhortation. We should be an encouragement to God's people. We should be an encouragement and a kind of a cheerleader at times to encourage God's people. And notice how we're to do that with all long suffering. So we should be long suffering with God's people as much as God has been long suffering with us. We should be patient with God's people and allow them the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as God has been gracious and patient with us. We should not only do that, but we should do that with doctrine. Did you know that Bible doctrine is the first application of Scripture? And it is a very important application. You cannot teach God's Word without having correct doctrine. Look just back just a few verses there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And he says that, well, look in verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given, and God gives us the scripture, and he gives it to us for the purpose of doctrine, first of all, he says, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so doctrine, being the first application of Scripture, is something that we cannot do away with. It is not something that we can pass over. Notice in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so sound doctrine is something we're going to talk about in just a minute as we move on down to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to see that sound doctrine is something that every Christian needs. And it's not just a practical teaching that we need, but we need an instructional doctrinal teaching. All right, now look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Good preaching cannot be good preaching unless it is sound in doctrine. We must make sure that we're teaching the Bible correctly. And there is no private interpretation of the Scripture. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and God gives that to us so that we can teach that book correctly. All right, now let's look here. Notice down there in verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you know why God gives us his Bible? He gives it to us and teaches us that word and gives us the gift of a pastor and a preacher and a teacher so that we can be strengthened in the word of God. Over in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them. You see that exhortation, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So he's encouraging them to cleave unto the Lord. Now that word cleave, it's one of those words that has a double meaning. And at sometimes it means to cleave as to divide. And then it sometimes to cleave unto is to grab a hold of and not let go. And so that's a double meaning word in the Scriptures. And so it's like we should cleave unto our wives. We should grab a hold of them and not let go. We should cleave unto that person that's close to us. We should grab a hold of them and not let go. That's a double meaning word. And we should learn by exhortation, by encouragement, how to grab a hold of the Lord and not let go. That with purpose of heart, he says there, that we should cleave unto the Lord. Now, so it's for our strengthening. It's so that we can, like the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 13 there, it's so that we can till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So first of all, Jesus Christ is our measure. He's our measuring rod. He is our plumb line. He is the perfect 10. We have to stack up against him. And without his grace, there is no way that we could stack up to that measure of that man. He is a perfect man. You and I, we are not perfect. We are perfect in him, but we are not perfect without him. So we are strengthened by the word of God and by the ministry. It's the purpose of the ministry is to strengthen us. It's to establish us. The Bible says over in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So it's to strengthen us, it's to establish us, it's to settle us. We should not be double-minded in our dealings with God. We should be single-eyed and single-minded. It's for us to be sanctified. It's so that we'll be separated. Now, people have an odd idea of what separation, biblical separation is, and they misuse the passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, whenever it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, that separation there, that has to do with separate in marriage. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so we should be separate in marriage. We should be separate in business. And the most important thing is we should be separate in religious ties. We should be a separated people in those ways. Now, I realize the passage has been practically applied to the point to where that we should be separate in our dress and our walk and our act and all that stuff. And those are all good things, and I'm not knocking them. I don't think we ought to act like the world, for sure. But the thing is, if we're going to rightly divide the Word of God, then we must learn how to be separated like the Bible calls for biblical separation, so that we're strengthened, we're established, we're settled, we're sanctified, and we're separated. And we're separate in marriage. We're not married. We're not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. People that get married and the marriages that God honors are those between two people who are saved. It's two Christian people. And we should not be bound together, a saved person and a lost person. It always works better if both parties are saved. And we should be separated in those matters. Now, notice there in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So first of all, let's say this, that there's somebody out there that's trying to deceive you with the Word of God. Anybody can take the Bible and they can twist it into something that they want it to be so that they can deceive you out of the Scriptures. I get many people, they'll ask me, they say, well, do you think that you're right in the Bible and everybody else is wrong? No, I just think the Bible's right. And I think men have corrupted the Bible and they've taught it incorrectly for so many years that people are confused, and God is not the author of confusion. Notice over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, he says this, he says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And those people out there who will deceive you are led by spirit. And there's somebody in this world that's working. There's a spirit in this world at work, the spirit of the Antichrist. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so what the devil does is his whole job, his whole approach to everything, his whole desire is to deceive God's people. And if he can't get their soul, he'll get their life. And if there's one thing I've found for sure is that the devil is going to do his dead level best to come after you week after week and time after time continually and try to deceive you and get you off track. And that's one of the things that he wants you to do. He wants you to get off track. And he does not want you to finish this race for Jesus Christ and complete your course. He does not want to do that. Over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there's many people who have perverted the Scriptures and have perverted the teaching of the Scriptures to the very point to where that whenever people listen to Bible preaching, they are confused, and the devil is behind all that stuff, and he has got people so confused that they can't even believe the truth. I'm amazed that people, they go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years and get degrees on top of degrees. And they can't even tell whenever somebody is telling them the truth or not. They can't pick out a lie if they had to. Now, I've known some old grandmothers who have read their Bible, and they've got better spiritual discernment whenever it comes to truth and lie than some people who have been to college for 4, 6, and 8 years. And I'm telling you, that Bible, what it will do is it will help you to understand whenever somebody is telling you a lie. You may not be able to put your finger on it and tell exactly what it is, but I'm telling you, if you're in that Bible, you can sure tell that it ain't right. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And what they were trying to do was deceive the people by adding works to salvation. And they were giving them a false gospel and false doctrine. And there's many people out there who teach false doctrine. And they say, well, that's all I know. I don't know anything else. Well, it is our responsibility as God's people to learn that Bible and teach that Bible correctly. Paul said this. He says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul is saying in his own admission there in Acts chapter 20, he's saying that I have done my dead level best to make sure that I have given you doctrine. I've given it straight. I've preached the gospel right. I've told it right. And when I stand before God, I'm going to have a clean conscience standing before God. Now, I want that to be my case. I don't want to stand before the Lord having told somebody a bunch of lies and deceived them out of the Bible. I want to make sure that what I'm teaching is the right thing. Looking back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children. So now that shows me, look down at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so that shows me, that shows us, that what we should do is grow up a little bit. It's time to put away some of those childish things and let those things go and not be worried about some of those little trivial things. Paul says this. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And so what we should do is we should grow up. We should grow up and practice doing the things of a grown-up. He says over in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And man, I'm telling you, it's time for some people to mature up. And do you know that's one of the reasons that God gave us a local church and gave us a preacher and a pastor and gave us a Bible to read about him so that we could grow up and we could mature as Christians, so that we could learn how to serve him better and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now there's many men who will enter into widows' houses and deceive them with good words and fair speeches. There's many men who will take advantage of the elderly who've never been taught anything out of the Bible. There's many men who will take advantage of young folks who don't know anything and they're vulnerable and they're young and it's a time whenever they're growing up and they begin to listen to things and they learn things and they take in everything. And people, deceitful people, will take advantage of that situation and they will deceive the hearts of the simple. And it shouldn't be that way, brethren. It ought to be to where that we're more concerned about what God thinks about us than we are what man thinks about us. And our huge ministries, and we ought to be careful with those little children. We ought to be careful with those older folks. We ought to be careful with the feeble-minded. And we ought to do our dead level best to make sure that we're teaching and preaching the Word of God correctly and not deceiving anybody out of that book. Now, from time to time, we all mess up. None of us are perfect. And as we grow, we learn more things. So there may be times that we may grow and learn something else as we get older. But we should never try to deceive somebody on purpose with the intention of lining in our pocket, gaining more money, or getting more power or more notoriety. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if we're not doing it for those reasons, we're doing it for the wrong reason. And it should be all about Him. It's for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. That is the purpose of the ministry. and we should all be busy about doing those things. Now, let me say this. There's some people that you've got to learn to watch out for, because there are some people who will deceive you, and you've got to learn to stay away from them. I realize that sometimes we get kind of caught up with the family issue, and we say, well, we got to keep going to church here because our family goes there, and it's just family tradition. And I realize there's some people, they will not leave churches because of that situation, but it shouldn't be that way. Over in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." Notice what it says here, "contrary to the doctrine which you have learned," and it says, "avoid them." It's saying there that there's some people that you ought to stay away from. Now, you're not going to be able to do that unless you get in the Bible and you strengthen yourself in the Word of God. Look over for just a minute over in 1 John chapter 2. And I'd like for you to see this. Now, if you don't have your Bible, go home later or get your Bible at break time or something like that. And take a look at these verses, 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 12. He says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Now, we've already established in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that when I was a child, I spake as a child. But then when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now notice how there's a growth pattern here. And he says, "I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father." Now, notice what he says in verse 14. He ties it all together. He says, "I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Now, the only way you're going to overcome the wicked one is if the word of God abides in you. You need that book in you. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm chapter 119. And so we need that Bible in you. And what it does is it strengthens you. Now, let me challenge you. Give that Bible a year. Spend some time in that Bible for a year. If you can read a chapter a day, then read a chapter a day. If you can read 10 chapters a day, read 10 chapters a day. If you have time to do that, then read 10 chapters a day. But over the next year, I realize we're already in March of 2020, and the New Year's resolutions have already passed. But why don't you start in March, and why don't you start reading that Bible and see what happens in a year after you've read that Bible daily? And add with that, mix a little bit of prayer in with that. And as you come to this book, say a prayer like this, like it says in Psalm 119. It says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." And as you approach this book, look at this book as it is God's book. It's God's holy book. It's the book that he gave us to learn about him. Give that Bible a chance. Give God a chance. Now, if you're not saved, I want to encourage you to get in the Bible anyway and read it, because it's the Word of God that guides you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're saved, man, I'm telling you, God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow up unto him. He wants you to get stronger in him. He wants you to be strengthened. He wants you to be established in the Word of God so that you're not carried about with every wind of doctrine. He wants you to know that Bible. So I'm asking you, I'm just challenging you, give that Bible a year and see if it won't change your life. Now, we sure hope that the radio broadcast has been a help, an encouragement. And I'm not kidding. I hope that it's been some instruction to you to help you grow up a little bit, mature up a little bit, and see if you can't do something for Jesus Christ before he comes back to get us. I'm looking for him. I hope you are. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer. Good day.